Of course, then I was required to refund that money later on, but my parents didn't have much of a sense of humor back then for some reason. But we're finally there. I'm going to try to cover all of this in 7 sermons. It won't all get everything covered, obviously. It's a gold mine. There are 22 sections here, 8 verses each. The first 8 verses all start with the same letter, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, not the English alphabet. As you look, you're like, well, that doesn't quite match up. And then the second 8 go with the second, Aleph being the first, then Bet, and it goes on from there. I won't say the whole Hebrew alphabet to you because I no longer have it memorized, okay, like I once did. But take my word, I've looked at the Hebrew, it really does that. Wonderful thing there, written by, we don't know who. But every verse except one, and you can try to find that verse this afternoon, read through the whole thing, you'll find it about two-thirds of the way through, a little more than two-thirds of the way through, the only verse that doesn't really have a reference to the Word of God. The longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible. And we can glean much from this. It is a great, great passage of Scripture. So to honor God's words that's read, I invite you to stand, reading just the first 8 verses. Future weeks, I'll usually read 2 sections, sometimes 3. But hear this, it is the inspired Word of God. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of God. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we have a treasure here, your word. And over these next weeks, we get to learn more about what you say, about the power of your word. May that word be unleashed now as your word and your spirit teach us. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Got to be honest, I'm not up on the latest social media happenings. If you read my Twitter account, there's nothing to read because I have no Twitter account. If you look for me on Facebook, you won't find me there. I actually do have one, but then Facebook shut me down before I had done anything. I hadn't posted anything. I think I was on, I'd liked 3 people or invited to, so I don't know. So I've stopped that. I may try again. I don't know. Somebody even asked me about what I saw on Facebook about them this week. And I'm sorry, Sandy. I'll go look on somebody else's and see what Sandy did on Facebook, okay? It's very exciting. I encourage you to go there afterward, not right now on your phone, okay? But there's this thing that's mentioned on Twitter accounts called FOMO. And that's why people are glued to their phones so much, the fear of missing out. And so you got to stay up to date on everything that's going on. And sometimes I want to go up to those people that are at restaurants where 4 family members are together and 4 faces are stuck in their phones and go, what are you doing? But they don't want to miss out on the latest who knows what. And the result of doing that, you know what? They're missing out on a lot. You can just say they're missing out on life, I think. But too many people, even in churches, are missing out on something that God gives us. And that is the blessings that are found in His Word. They are many, and we miss out because of neglect of saying, well, I'll just take care of that on Sunday morning, and I sure tell you, I try to give you as much as I can. I hope you do that in Sunday school, but it needs to be a daily thing because most of you are not just eating one meal on Sunday and then not eating the rest of the week. Anybody want to claim that diet? I like low carb, okay, but if you want to do whatever. But no, we're not doing that. We're having our 2-3 a day and then snacks in between and things like that. But we need to be feeding on the Word of God. We need to revel in the blessings of a life that is rooted in the Word of God. Because if we want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, boy, what a coincidence that beatitude was there today for us. We have to understand what that is. And we find that hunger satisfied in the Word of God. So we have 3 questions we're going to look at today, then some questions to ponder at the end. And the first is, What is a blessing? And here's a hint. It is not what you get after you sneeze, okay? And I won't dissect that, okay? But that's kind of what it's not, okay? A simple definition, it's divine favor. It is of God. God bestows good gifts. To be blessed is to enjoy the goodness of God in one's life. That is a blessing, to go, wow, God, you are so good, and look what I have enjoyed. It's only available from God. And secondly, it is undeserved, but is given to all of God's people. And we need to remember that. But then you said, oh, but there's something we need to do. Yeah, because a blessing is to be sought. Remember this guy, Jacob, decided to be in mixed martial arts one night, and he wrestled with this man for hours, sweaty, back and forth they go, and finally holds on to the guy as the sun is starting to come up and says, I can't let you go until you bless me. And that is what we need to be doing to God, is saying, God, I want to be blessed by you. I am your child. Bless me. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things that cause people to be worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, how they're going to be fed, clothed, etc. Those will be answered in Christ Jesus. That is what we're to do, but to seek the blessing of God. And you seek the blessing of God as we come into His Word. And then, who will be blessed? We get into that here. And also, there's an opposite of this as well. Who will be cursed? Now, anybody here want to be cursed? I don't see a single hand. Why not? Nobody wants to be cursed, right? Absolutely not. So here's for blessing. First we see, it's verse 1, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, those who walk according to the law of God. Those who walk according to the law of God will be blessed. Which I immediately say, well, what's the law of God? Well, at that time, it was the 5 books of Moses. The first 5 books that we have in our Bible today. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In there, they told people so much. They let them know that God created, that He spoke, and by the power of His Word, in 6 24-hour days, He completed the work of creation. They knew where they had come from. And then it gives a history of who they are, that they are descendants of Abraham. And then He instructed them how to live, as we sang, by faith. They lived by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That is how we live. And then you, as a result of what God has done, allowing us to live by faith, we then walk according to His law. Today, it's all 66 books of the Bible. Inspired by God, infallible, our only rule of faith and practice. And you may hear me say that multiple times, words right from our confession of faith. They remind us, they tell us of faith, what we are to believe, and then practice how we are to live. And they are there for us to guide us in life, day by day, moment by moment. And so we walk according there. What makes us blameless is not that we walk, but that we are blameless because of that. Then we walk according to the law of God, because of what Christ has done for us. And then secondly, in verse 2, we again see, blessed are they who keep His statutes and again seek Him with all of their heart. That we are out there saying, Christ, because of what You have done for us, I want You. That should be a passion for us in life. It is not reserved for the spiritually elite. I don't know if there is such a thing. We go, oh, well, that's for those. There's the upper 1% or something like that. No, it's for every believer in Christ. That this is how we are to live, according to the Word of God, and to pursue it with a passion. And that is how we will be blessed. And of course, then the opposite of that, who's going to be cursed? Instead of being blessed, there are curses for those who don't walk according to the way of God. Why does life seem incomplete for people? Because they're off on their own. They have a false God, and it is themselves. And that is not how we're meant to live. But instead, we live in fellowship with our God. And then, of course, there's Psalm 1. I printed out my sermon from Psalm 1 when I first did Psalms over 10 years ago. And looked at it and said, that's a pretty good sermon. I almost gave you two for the price of one. So I clipped a little bit here, but it talks directly to the ones who aren't pursuing God. But it talks to those who are blessed. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There are wicked people out there. Or stand in the way of sinners. There are sinners out there. Or sit in the seat of mockers. Is God mocked? Yes. People will say, where is God? I can't see him. They want a scientific approach to God. Science isn't set to answer those questions of theology. God is the maker of all science, but he is above science. But there is adequate proof to show that God does exist. But we are to live life in relationship with the God who created us. In three ways, the psalmist shows us in Psalm 1 is we delight in the law of the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to take up and read. And that we ought to be doing that to go, oh, this is so good. It may be the best-selling book of all time, but sometimes isn't the most read. I remember going to visit people once years ago in Macon, Georgia. And there on the coffee table was this thick Bible. And I knew what it was just by looking. That's obviously a Bible. And at the end, I just said, could I read from your Bible, share some passages from Scripture? And the guy said, well, as long as you don't preach, okay? Like, oh, I would never do that, right? And I picked up that Bible, and it was so gross. Because what was on that Bible? Many years of dust. I was like, oh. And he goes, well, we don't use it that much. I said, really? He didn't have to try too hard to convince me of that. I hope your Bible's not dusty. I hope it's worn out, fallen apart. I like mine. Okay? I don't know what happened to it. But we're to use our Bibles. I'm going to get this fixed up sometime. But kind of reminds me, wear it out. That's what we're called to do. But we delight in that law, and then we meditate on it day and night. And this word here is like ruminate. And you know what a ruminant is? Chew that over for a minute, okay? It talks about a cow that chews its cud, okay? That's what we're to do, to think it over. Chew it over. Discuss it with others. Had a pastor in the presbytery called me, is ready to quit this week. And I said, no, you don't want to do that. He goes, well, I'm not seeing any fruit in my ministry. He said, right after the sermon, what are they talking about? The football game they're going to go watch. On the way in, they talked about the football game they saw yesterday, and now on the way out, they talk about the one they're going to watch. I said, oh, okay. I said, Bill, I called him Bill because that's his name, okay? I said, I got this dream, and I've shared that dream with people from the church before, and maybe I'll share it again on Sunday. And what's this fantasy, really, that I have, and I think a lot of pastors have? It's to be invisible for a little while on Sunday afternoon. And I'm able to follow every person being teleported somehow to everybody, but still invisible. And I listen to their conversation as they talk about the Word of God and how the Word of God preached and proclaimed has ministered to them. As one of you even said today, hey, next time you talk to Flavian, tell him how much his sermon impacted my life. And I was like, oh, sure, I'll do that. And I'm not trying to get kudos. Oh, please, you know, pat me on the back. I'm hopefully way beyond that. But I hope you're ministered to. And that then the Word of God is taking root in you. And I hear this and I'm not going, wow, what a great preacher. And so I'm like, Lord, what a great God. Your Word has penetrated to them. And your Spirit has applied it to their lives. And then it continues throughout the week. And Skip walks around with a big smile because he's going, wow, Lord, use an idiot like me to accomplish your good. That's amazing. And of course, I got in trouble once at a presbytery meeting. As we were breaking for lunch, the moderator asked me to pray, and I said, Lord, I gave thanks for the food, etc. And I said, Lord, may we ever be mindful how incredible it is you screwballs like us to accomplish anything. I had 7 non-screwballs come up to me and mad at me. I then got them to understand they were screwballs, okay? We all are. That God somehow works through us. But that we delight, we meditate on it, we chew it over. And then thirdly, the result is having a fruitful life. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. We're like a willow tree that gets planted. Have one in my yard. Actually planted it after seeing, preaching the first thing and seeing a neighbor's willow tree. And he goes, you got that wet spot there, the lowest spot on your property? Plant a willow tree there. And that willow tree in just a few years has taken off. And that is how our lives are to be like. We're to have fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is developed as the Word of God is accomplished. But those who are wicked, they're like chaff. The wind blows away. They'll no longer stand. But for those who are in Christ, they enjoy the eternal blessings of faith in Christ. And we can rejoice and look forward to that as we rest in Him and look forward to His blessing. And what are the blessings in this psalm? Throughout the psalms, actually, not just this one psalm. Because verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. By God's grace, we're allowed to grab on to the one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. We see from Luke 24, and I'll preach on this in a few weeks, that we see that Jesus is the one who is the subject in the Psalms, that all the scriptures are about Jesus Christ. And we see from Psalm 19:7, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And we see the great promise here, the great fruit, the great blessing is justification. That the law of God will convict us of sin. We'll see that in further detail down the road too. That in Christ we are declared righteous and we are declared forgiven. And that is something that we should be yearning for. As we seek the righteousness of God, we're saying, God, I know in and of myself I am not righteous, but I claim the work of Christ. And thank you for that. And in that, I am forgiven. Because what in a normal news cycle would be the number one story on our news today? But what took place in Dallas, Texas this week? That was incredible. Now, the media's had a hard time with it. They're very conflicted. But in a world that's been torn asunder by racism, wow! Sad story. Female police officer, after working a long shift, and I assure you from being with the policemen here in town, they get tired working that shift. You work a graveyard shift, late night shift, you get tired. Ever happen to people who work the graveyard shift, Mr. Pharmacist? Yes. Do you really want your prescription at the hospital filled by this guy at 3 in the morning? Okay. It's a rhetorical question. For the pharmacist, no, but for Britt, he'll feel you okay. But she gets disoriented somehow, goes into the wrong apartment. There's a man there. He wonders who's in the apartment. All the details are kind of fuzzy, except we know one thing. She pulled her service weapon and killed him. She's charged with murder. She's found guilty. And then, as in many court systems, victims are allowed to come and make impact statements. And the victim's brother, 18 years old, I believe, sits in that witness stand and looks at the woman who killed his beloved brother and says these incredible words, I forgive you. Can I give her a hug? What? And the judge is like, yeah. And they have this big embrace there where she runs toward him. Because what does she need? She needs forgiveness. Of course, he's not the judge, okay? And there's that moment there. And then, of course, what does the judge do? The ACLU is furious. The atheist organizations are going nuts. They're filing complaints against the judge. The judge goes back into chambers, gets her personal Bible, and gives it to her after she's hugged her. And, of course, the brother has said, you need Jesus. Isn't that incredible? What's going to break the racial divide in this country? Programs. Education. That may have its place, but what is going to break the boundary? What that guy did is so incredible. Forgiveness. Now, she's still going to jail for 10 years, and I trust in that time God will transform her heart. But what is going to break down the barriers is the gospel. That is what will bind us together. And that is what we should ever be mindful of, is what is there for us, coming through the power of what we call sanctification. But you need to remember, it's not just, nobody is saved by ideas. I read this great article this week. Just in other words, just having knowledge and things like that aren't going to do it. But here is the doctrine of justification of this young man in that witness stand saying, I have been forgiven much, I forgive you. It's not saying there are not consequences still of the crime, okay? We don't do that. We don't have to be soft on crime. She deserves to have a penalty there. But there it is. Now let's apply it to ourselves. Who do we think has murdered us, even though we're still living? Has hurt us, has offended, whatever. And so we go, in my eye, you've suffered a death penalty. You don't exist anymore. And instead, there needs to be forgiveness and healing. That is the power of the gospel. And secondly then, verse 9 goes on, if I just continued, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Here is the doctrine of sanctification, that we live holy lives that are pleasing to God. And that should be our desire, that we're living that way. Growing up in Annapolis, seeing how midshipmen lived, they start off with what's called plebe summer before their official academic year begins, and they're learning what it means to be an officer in the Navy. And they learn all sorts of things. And then they're in shape for it. We should be doing the same thing as the people of God, even to a greater degree. As much as I respect those guys, even yesterday after Navy came back and beat Air Force, as they play the alma mater of Navy and just go, oh, it is so cool after all these years to just go, wow, those guys are willing to sacrifice for us. And some of them probably will. The ultimate sacrifice. But we have a Savior who's laid down his life for us, and we in turn get to lay down our lives for him and live to his glory and say, Lord, make me more and more like Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we have union with Christ. We enjoy the benefits of the Christian life that are many. In weeks to come, we're going to look at truth, guidance, comfort, delight, hope, the idea of light. What does it mean to live in light? Wisdom, and so much more. It's a treasure chest, as I've told you. It is there. And you go, oh, well, it takes so long to read. I'll tell you what I did with Harold this week. He was kind of in and out, kind of there. We'd have great conversations, then he'd kind of back off. And I said, Harold, how about I just read you some scripture? And I was reading scripture, some familiar passages, some great, great words of truth and of comfort to him. I had to turn the Bible once, and he had his eyes closed. He's, oh, that's good. Oh, yes, God has loved me even though I'm a sinner. Christ died for me. Yes, yes, yes. And then I paused as I turned the page. He's going, well, I said, I'm sorry. And I just kept going. And then finally, I read all of Psalm 118 from last Sunday's sermon, gave him a brief little summary of that, and then just started reading Psalm 119 and got more than two-thirds of the way through. And that only took about 10 minutes, and I was having to translate it. not from Greek to English or Hebrew to English, but from King James to modern English, okay? And he goes, oh, yes, the Word of God, so valuable. They're there for us, these wonderful blessings that are ours, which leads to the bonus, which is found in Psalm 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We can hide God's word in our heart. So you actually have homework this week. I've gotten some passages from Scripture. I've got about 40 of them right now, which I'm only doing one a week, so I've got to cull the list a little bit. I may just make one every week from now on, that we memorize. That day by day you say, I'm going to work on this verse. And the verse is found back in the A point of number 3. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, or as I prefer to say, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. That is what the Word of God is to do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That we would really hide the Word of God in our heart, that we would not sin against Him. Talking to my neighbor yesterday, who was a campus pastor at Brookstone, which used to be Merriman Avenue Baptist, and he's reading a book, he told me. And I said, oh, great guy. Ed Welsh teaches counseling at Westminster Seminary. Got to watch him do counseling sessions when I was a student there. And Ed's writing a great book. And the gist of the book is resting in the Word of God. It's when God is big and people are small. Or is it when people are big and God is small? And that we have a big God. And he said, boy, this is changing my idea of ministry. That I got to give people a big God instead of having fear of people. Live in the fear of God, the good fear of God. And it was a great reminder of what we are called to do, that the law of the Lord will accomplish its purpose. So will you be blessed? You know, we want quick fixes, right? In our world, you want to get rich? Advertisements tell you, buy a lottery ticket. And I thank people who buy lottery tickets because theoretically it lowers our taxes, okay? So you want to buy them? Thank you. You want to get physically fit? Well, work out. Practice the pushaways and things like that. Want to be in better health? Today, just take a pill and everything's going to be fine. But if you want to grow in grace, be blessed by God, there's no easy fix. There's no pill. There is a diet plan, though. The diet plan is feed on the Word of God. I dare you to do it, okay? I double dare you. Start reading the Word of God. Just take up and read. I'd encourage you to go to ligonier.org. Roger can give you all the details on that if need be. Wonderful resources there. Daily devotional for you to follow there on Ligonier and read. Take up, read the scripture, see how somebody comments on it. Lord, what do I see of you here? Lord, how do I see how I need to be more like Christ here? Lord, may I live according to this way. And allow the Word of God to just permeate and permeate you. God has blessed us with the best news ever in His Word. And as we read it, the fear of missing out will disappear because you won't be missing out. You'll be getting the greatest news you can ever hear. Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank you that we can be people of the Word, of your Word, your holy, inspired, infallible Word that you have preserved for us, that we can read on, that we can feed on, that we can meditate on, that we can delight in, and that will produce great fruit in our lives as we live to your glory, Lord. And we thank you for the story that it tells us, that you're the God who created, and though Adam and Eve sinned, you, O God, are rich in mercy. And by faith in Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we can live as your people. So, Lord, give us the grace to feed on you. For we won't miss out. But instead, we will enjoy the sweet blessings that only you, O God, can give. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.